If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me, please, to the book Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. Everyone in the world wants an inside track on what's going to happen. There is a commercial over television that speaks of the stock market in one of the big stock brokerage firms. I do not own any stock, so I don't know too much about it, but I've seen the commercial, and it speaks of E.F. Hutton and everyone listening. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen. The disciples of our Lord were the same way. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 1, the first word of the first verse, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that happened exactly as he said. Titus surrounded Jerusalem. Over a million, you think of this, over a million Jews died in that city in 70 AD. The other day in Rome, Italy, I rode under the big arch that was built 2,000 years ago for Titus by the Roman citizens for his great victory. I saw the candlestick as it had been inscribed on the side of that solid stone, that huge arch that automobiles drive through now continuously. And I looked at it and I couldn't help the tears roll down my cheeks. For Jesus, the very words he said, here it was, the symbol of the prophecy fulfilled. 600,000 died almost in a day. Over 400,000 died of starvation. Titus tried to stop his men from pulling the temple down. But before he could stop them, they began to hitch oxen and teams to it and pulled it down. And he stood and said, "I declare before God today that I'm not accountable for the actions of my men. I cannot stop them." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, speaking of Jesus, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Somebody said, "Brother Swagger, doesn't that statement prove that the world will end?" No. God didn't say that. Jesus didn't use that term. That was the question the disciples asked. The world will actually never end. There are still going to come some trying times, but it will never end. It was built to last forever. It will be burned by fire at the end of the millennial reign. Even the very heavens will burn. But as far as the earth itself is concerned, it will not totally be obliterated. It'll be remade, rejuvenated for a new heaven and a new earth. I want to use for a subject tonight, 2000 AD. That is some 23 years, if my mathematics and arithmetic is correct, into the future. 23 years to some of you that are tender of years is a long time. 23 years to those of you whose hair has turned to silver, it's just a short time. 2000 AD, will you bow your heads? Father, I thank you and I praise you. As I minister tonight, I minister the words that thou hast given unto me. I minister the message you have put within my heart after prayer and seeking thy face. A long time ago, as you told me, I now obey you. Anoint these people to hear and receive thy word. To the furthest corner of this auditorium, anoint these words that when they leave this building tonight, They will know they have been in the presence of the Lord. They will have heard the word of the Lord. And I'll thank you for it, that thy Spirit flow through us. I ask only that I may be a channel through which your Spirit will flow. I ask it in the name of Jesus, taking complete control of this service under you. In the name of the Lord, and everyone said amen and amen. The battle, and it has been a battle, it is a battle, for control of this earth that has been going on for nearly 6,000 years now is about to come to an end. It has raged. At times, Satan has come very, very close to totally dominating it. He came within one family, Noah and his family, at one time. He has come very, very close. The battle between good and evil, the battle between purity and impurity, the battle between mortality and immortality, between life and death, between sin and salvation, it is soon to come to a close. The other day, one of America's most eminent space scientists in Houston, Texas, was asked the question. I read this in the Jim Bishop column in one of our major dailies. This brilliant man, this brilliant mind, was asked the question by some wag that proposed in his heart not to believe in God. He said, I guess as we have landed on the moon, we are preparing now to send men further into outer space. Our satellites are bypassing Saturn, Venus, the planets of the ether world, that we have just about debunked that myth of God. The scientist wheeled and turned to him and said, sir, before I became engaged in the space program, he said, I was not a believer in God. I thought very little about God. I was, I guess, an agnostic. I didn't know if there was a God or was not a God. But he said, since I have become involved as deeply as I am in the space effort, and I see how great the heavens are put together, I see how mighty, how wonderful this earth system is. Everything is exact. There is no variation. It is perfect. He said, now I have become a believer in God. There has to be somebody there. It could not have just happened. And neighbor, if you have a degree of intelligence tonight, I mean an iota, common sense, reason, rationale, will tell you it could not have just happened. There is a God. That God is very much involved in the activities of man. He is not aloof. He is not distant. He is involved in the nations of this world. He is involved in the activities of this world. He is involved in the life of every single person in this audience tonight. Everybody wants to know the future, what is going to happen. The prognosticators have become rife in these past few years. The Gene Dixons, very prolific. What is going to take place? What will happen? Mr. Carter stood the other night and addressed America and the world for that matter. And he told us that we were going to have to cut down on the usage of energy. One writer in Time magazine, if my memory serves me correct, the next couple of days wrote an article prognosticating the future, proposing what America and the world will be like in the year 2000 AD with very little gasoline, very little fuel oil, very little energy to propel and to power our factories and our automobiles and airplanes. He went on to talk of a world that was not very comfortable to live in. A world, instead of advancing, was retreating. A world that little by little, step by step, would be going back into the dark ages. For the very first time in American history, our technology seems not to be equal to the task. For the very first time, the most brilliant minds on the face of the earth seemingly cannot find a substitute for the black gold that comes from the ground. Everybody wants to know what the future is going to bring. The militarists, the generals of war, the military tacticians, the strategists of the battlefield, they tell us in somber, ominous tones that this world possibly will not reach the year 2000 AD. They tell us that some tyrant, some Hitler, some Herod, some Haman will get his hands on the trigger of the thermonuclear doomsday weapon and will totally annihilate this earth. Man is trying to find a way out. The SALT talks with the best minds of America in this field, supposedly, trying to find a way to limit developments of hideous weapons. Russia, strategic arms limitations. Russia, instead of finding a way to limit, is trying to find a way for us to quit building weapons so they can eventually conquer the world. This spirit that is in the mind of Satan. Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. That spirit is in the mind of dictators even tonight. That's the reason that communism is not satisfied. That's the reason that Soviet Russia is not satisfied to enslave Eastern Europe, for communism to enslave almost a half of the mankind of this world. They want to dominate the whole world. That's the reason that Castro is busy importing his brand of communism to Central, to South America, even to Africa. That spirit to enslave, to dominate, placed there by Satan himself, boils within their evil hearts. The militarists tell us, quite possibly, by the year 2000 AD, this beautiful planet we call Earth could be burned to a cinder. As mighty atomic and hydrogen and cobalt bombs in World War III, a conflagration that cannot be stopped, a Vietnam that cannot be slowed, a Korea that cannot be halted, explodes into a conflagration of Armageddon of hell. I stood the other day in the belly of a B-52 bomber, one of the mighty Leviathan of the skies, obsolete but still able, even though the last one rolled from the assembly lines in Seattle, Washington in 1969. Still able to completely destroy the entire world. I asked the man, the military individual standing nearby, I said, sir, where do they keep the atomic bombs? There was no laughter or levity. He said, Reverend, this one airplane can haul 8 atomic bombs. With a cruise missile, it could possibly haul as many as 100. It can destroy the largest cities on the face of the globe. This one airplane can carry more explosive tonnage than every airplane that flew in World War II. It can even destroy the world. The militarists tell us, good days do not face us. The population experts tell us that by the year 2000, there will be standing room only. Do you realize that American scientists have made plans to sterilize over 100 million women to somehow try to stop the population explosion? Our wheat bins are almost empty tonight, trying to feed the 700 millions of India. China, with its 1 billion population, with its regimented society, its enslaved society, still is reaching the place today to where she cannot feed her masses. By the year 2080, they tell us there's a possibility there could be as many as 20 billion people on the face of this globe. Standing room only. Starvation with swollen bellies. We in America do not understand this. We have food. We throw away more food than we need. But in the majority of this world tonight, millions go to bed hungry. They never know what it is to have enough to eat. Little children die. I saw a documentary on television the other night that I couldn't sleep. And when I did sleep, it was the sleep of trouble of little babies whose faces were skeletons. Their little arms like the arms of death, and yet their stomachs swollen. Sucking at a mother's breast, and there was no milk. Mouths open, eyes staring vacantly into space. Do you realize that 50% of the children of this world are mentally retarded? Why? Not because they were born that way, but because they do not get enough to eat. The brain starves. Population experts tell us 2000 AD, it'll be standing room only. The ecologists tell us if the big bombs do not get us, and the human glut doesn't get us, the air's going to become so filthy that you cannot breathe it. They have actually designed giant plastic cocoons to go over the major cities of America. They are already on the drawing boards. They have designed them to try to keep out the filth, because they tell us that the world will die as a result of air that's become so poisonous and so contaminated. Does it sound like a killjoy word that I speak to you? Do you realize in Detroit, Michigan, just breathing is the equivalency of smoking a pack of cigarettes a day? Men that know, brilliant minds, they do not speak well of the future. I ask you a question tonight. Almost every one of you that are here are thinking people. You're a sensible people. You're a rational people. What do you think the future is going to hold? God made this earth in the beginning. He made it for man. He made it beautiful. He made it productive. He called it a paradise. He is not going to allow this world to go out in thermonuclear destruction. He is not going to allow it to be trampled to death by the feet of starving billions. I firmly believe from my study of the Word of God that by the year 2000 AD, the entire world system is going to have been changed. There is going to be a new order of government in this whole wide world. And every single person that's under the sound of my voice, every person in America, every person in the world, I believe it with all of my heart, will either be in hell or be on this earth with Jesus Christ serving as Lord and Master. That's what I believe. I am looking for a Redeemer. There are many men in this world that know the right thing to do to save mankind, but they do not have the might to do it. Jesus Christ knows the right, and he has the might. He is going to come back. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus stood there on the Mount of Olivet, his body glorified. There was enough power on his stately being to roll back every tide of darkness. And as gravity lost its force and he slipped away to be with his heavenly Father, mission completed. Two angels stood by, dressed in glowing white apparel, and said, "Do not look sad, no worry, because this same Jesus that you have seen go away is going to come back in like manner as you have seen him go away." And I like the way one preacher put it. When he comes back that second time without sin unto salvation, he's not going to come back to be spit upon, to be ostracized, to be beaten with a lictor's lash, to be nailed to a bloody tree, to have spikes pierced his hands. He's not going to come back to be laughed at and lampooned and lambasted and cursed and criticized. But he's coming back, crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Pharisee of 10,000, the bride in the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's coming back, and the government of the world shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Mighty God and Prince of Peace and Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley. Pardon me if I get excited. The world may laugh and say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" But I want to tell you, brother, he is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And when he comes, it'll be in victory. By the year 2080, but Brother Swaggart, what if he doesn't come by that year? I'll look for him the year 2001 then. He's coming. I want to show you tonight, in a short time, what this new world is going to be like. This new world that our brilliant minds cannot comprehend and cannot make nor build. This new world with new deals and great societies and new frontiers that it could not bring to it. This new world that Jesus is going to remake. It's at the threshold, it's at the door. First of all, it tells us in the book of Isaiah, if you have your Bibles, Chapter 2, beginning with the second verse. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." Not just a few of the nations, but all the nations of this world will flow into it. "Many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" That last statement, given by the Holy Spirit 2,800 years ago, is one of the greatest statements that ever came from the lips of God. "Neither shall they learn war anymore." Do you realize the year of 1977? That over $400 billion will be spent on armaments? Do you realize that's enough money to feed every person in this world? Every single individual? $400 billion. Do you realize the billions that America, that the so-called third world nations, poverty stricken, that Germany, Italy, France, Great Britain, the billions that are being poured into Saudi Arabia, into Libya, into the oil-rich countries, those billions are not going to better mankind. The greater majority is going to buy the most expensive, sophisticated weapon systems in the world today. War is the biggest business on the agenda of mankind. I stood the other day on the banks of the Dead Sea in Israel. I stood there and I watched the hottest, fastest, most powerful fighter planes in the world as they flew just a few feet above the briny waters of the Dead Sea. I saw those powerful afterburners spout flame out the back. And I looked there and thought of prophecy fulfilled. America has pledged her fortune, and rightfully so, with the tiny nation of Israel. War, the biggest business on the face of the earth today. But here in this new world to come, hallelujah, and it's coming. And you listen to me good.
My Bible says we'll lay down our sword and shield down by the riverside, and we'll study war no more. Do you realize there will not be another telegram that'll come to any home in the world? We regret to inform you, because there is going to be a new administration. The capital city will be Jerusalem. Every nation in the world will go to that great capital city. Every nation, every leader will go in, and they will ask the ways to govern their countries and their nations. A brand new administration. We've just had a new administration in Washington. One editorialist said the other day, he said, nothing will change. It'll be the same thing over and over again, because it doesn't lie within the power of man to do the things that need to be done. They just can't do it. Many of them want to do it. They try to do it, but they can't do it. Well, I want to tell you, when Jesus comes back, he will be able to do it. Hallelujah. There is going to be something so different about this new administration. There will be two different types of people in this world. There will be what is commonly called the natural people. That'll be people like you and me now. They will live, they will work, they will labor. They will do so in the greatest era of prosperity the world has ever known. And there will also be the glorified saints of God. That means every person that's ever served Jesus Christ, that went with him in the rapture, will come back with him with glorified bodies. Some of you, this sounds like something from outer space. That's exactly where it's from. Some of you say, I've never heard of such a thing. Well, this world is going to have millions of saints of God. It'll be you, it'll be me, it'll be every person that's ever lived for Jesus with glorified bodies. Well, what are you talking about, a glorified body? Just like Jesus had. He could appear, disappear at will. He could go through solid walls like they were not even there. Laws of gravity mean absolutely nothing. And the glorified saints of God, operating in love, totally, completely love, will be the governors, the presidents, will be the mayors and the sheriffs, will be the congressmen and the senators. And there'll be no pork barrel legislation, no scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, no payoffs under the table, no more crooked politicians. There's going to be a brand new administration. Praise God. Preacher, do you really believe that? I have staked my past, my present, and my future on it. I want to ask you a question that you don't believe it. I just don't believe such a thing. What do you believe? What do you have to look forward to? What do you have to look outward to? I'll place my foundation upon this book, and I believe that it will not pass away. You're looking at the next part of the next administration. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have already set my sights pretty high. I'm going to give some of these preachers thoughts right now. You can say I'm crazy. You can say I'm out of my mind. You can say I've lost my marbles. You can say Jimmy Swaggart's a little touched. I don't care. I have no concern about what you think. I've already asked the Lord to let me be the next president of this United States in the millennial reign. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Do you think you can handle it? If I can, I know who can. Hallelujah. The Bible said all nations will flow into that city where Jesus is. The whole world will be happy. The whole world will be at rest. Isaiah said they will be at rest. It'll be a new administration. Secondly, it's going to be a new type of government. Isaiah chapter 9, if you have your Bibles. A new type of government, chapter 9, verse 6. And oh, I love this. For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When you pick up your newspapers, instead of them screaming about famine, pestilence, earthquakes, cyclones, tornadoes, war, threatened destruction, you'll read in your headlines, the Prince of Peace has just declared there will never be another tear that will dim our eyes, that the one called Wonderful in Jerusalem has brought everlasting peace to this whole world. That's what you'll read when you turn on CBS and NBC. I don't know if they'll be called that then, but instead of hearing about crime and rape and trouble and heartache, you'll hear about glorious beauty and wonderful joy and the power of God that's going to make this world a paradise upon this earth. That's what's going to be. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus will be the president of the whole world. I want you to take a look. The four prime concerns of America today. First of all, it's agriculture. Secondly, it's weather. Thirdly, it's science. Fourth, it's health. What kind of agriculturalist is Jesus? First of all, he said in Isaiah that the deserts will blossom like the rose. I dreamed the other night, and I woke up and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how are you going to feed all these people? He reminded me in that dream. He said, son, the very deserts will blossom like the rose, and just one desert, the Sahara, if it was properly conducted, could feed the entire world. Beside that, how he does it, I do not know. But he took five loaves of bread and two fishes and fed 5,000 men beside the women and children. Under his administration in this new government, there'll not be one hungry stomach. There'll not be one little child screaming for a morsel of food. I can tell the people today, they will not die of starvation. What about the weather? I stood on the banks of beautiful Galilee the other day. The sun was setting behind the western hills. The water was as flat as the palm of my hand, as smooth and placid. I don't think I've ever seen such a beautiful scene in all of my life. I stood there. I wish I could have stayed there for a day, a week, a month. There at Capernaum where Jesus started his ministry. And in my mind's eyes, I closed my eyes. I could see that sea as it raged and tossed. And the boat shook, and he was asleep in the back, and they awakened him and said, carest not that we perish. And he walked out on the bow of that boat, and he said, peace be still. And when he said it, that water calmed like a babe in the arms of its mother. You listen to me. When that new government takes place, as far as the weather is concerned, our meteorologists, they say the weather's getting worse and worse. It'll end then. Praise God, the tornadoes are over, the cyclones are over, the earthquakes have come and gone. Because the one that can control the weather will be here. And I've got some news for you. Praise God, not only will Jesus be here, but the devil won't be here. Hallelujah. Praise God, he won't be here. His demons and his powers of darkness will be gone. He steals and he kills and he destroys. But he will be gone. He'll be gone completely. Science. Is Jesus a scientist? I guess he is. He made the law of gravity. He made the laws that we govern ourselves by. He made them. It's no problem for him to do anything he desires to do. When it comes to health, oh, this is a beautiful thing. Do you realize during that day, right by the city, it's a small village of Engedi. It's close to Masada. It's just about a half a mile from the shores of the Dead Sea. There is a great river that's going to erupt under the temple in Jerusalem in that day. It'll flow down southward. And it'll flow part of it to the Mediterranean, part of it to the Dead Sea. The waters will come from the Mediterranean, and fish will once again live in the Dead Sea. And along the banks of that river, there will grow trees like the world has never seen. They will bear so much fruit that the people in that area cannot eat it all. But the thing that's so great, the leaves on those trees, my Bible said, will be for medicine. Ezekiel chapter 47, I believe it's the 12th verse. The leaves will be for medicine. And when I looked that up the other day as to what it exactly meant, it meant that it would prolong life. There will be millions that will come and eat those leaves, and they'll never die. Hallelujah. I read in Isaiah just today how that when they eat those leaves, the lame will leap for joy. The blind will see. There'll be no more sick and suffering. You talk about great. Do you realize during that time that there is going to be 7 times more light? 7 times more light. I thought on that, and the Bible said it's for the healing. Even today, the doctors know that there is something about light that heals. And this light that's going to fill this earth 7 times brighter than it is today will completely kill every contamination, every disease germ in this world. A new government. Last of all, it'll be a new society. Do you realize there'll be no more hate? There'll be no more race, ethnic, color, hatred. Do you know that? We fight about it and fight over it nowadays, but that will end when Jesus comes back. There'll be no more hate. There'll be no more fear. No fear whatsoever. Nothing that hurts or destroys will be allowed to be in this world. And the Bible said the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Read with me in Isaiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now notice what I'm about to say. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This whole world society will change. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, no more fear. The weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign to the people, meaning Jesus. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I've just touched the surface of what this new world is going to be like. I want it to start. I stood the other day in Baton Rouge. And there's something about death I hate. I despise it. And somebody came, we were in service, it was a Sunday night, and somebody came in and told us that some precious, wonderful people that lived about 4 houses below us on our same street, their 3 children, one 17, one 15, I think, and a little girl that was 9, had died in a car wreck. The boy was with my son continually. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. He was in my house as much as he was in his own. His name was Gary. Tall, handsome young man. He was driving that night. Nobody really knows what happened. It was a head-on collision. All 3 were dead. The little 9-year-old girl would come down there by herself at times. She was as pretty as a picture. I think that child knew more questions than any 10 people I ever met. if she could get you to listen to her just a minute, she would ask you everything. She would say, Brother Jimmy, why does the sun shine? And change it just like that. Does Jesus really love everybody? Why do you live here? 9 years old, blonde tresses about her shoulders. And now she was gone. I was the first preacher by her mother and daddy's side. I won't forget that. They're dear friends of ours today. They were then. What do you say to a man and his wife that's just lost all their children? Almost all night long, I walked the floor with him. He said, Jimmy, tell me it's not real. Tell me this is a nightmare. Daylight the next morning, I was with him. Tell me it didn't happen. He kept walking the floor. Ken, beautiful, beautiful people. He kept saying, Lord, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. 2 days later, I watched them dig the biggest grave I'd ever seen. They lowered 3 caskets in it. When that mother and dad walked away, I put my arms as best I could around both of them. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining, but not for them. The birds were singing, but not for them. The roses bloomed, but not for them. And they put their head, one on one shoulder and she on the other, and sobbed. In that moment, I looked up and I said, God, I'm ready. I'm tired of war and death and suffering and sickness and disease and bitter disappointment and broken promises. I'm ready for this new world to come. And I can almost hear trumpets tonight. You hear me? I can almost hear trumpets. Satan would like to bury us. But Jesus said, I'm coming back. And I'm going to change things. Are you going to be ready for it? 2000 AD, where will you be? Here with him, or lost forever? It's your choice. Would you bow your heads?